I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
To you this morning from a chilly Fenway Park, 1 o'clock game for the Boston Red Sox today, and Jim Cook from Sam Adams is going to join us here on the Sam Adams deck in just a little bit. If you would like to call and you'd like to be a part of the show today, then you could call 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. I don't know what the rule is today with regard to AB talk. I noticed Ken tried to get it going right off the bat.
Wedge it in.
It was like, try.
Yeah, yesterday was I was going for 1/3 of the show being the limit on talk of Antonio Brown, but unfortunately he keeps putting himself others keep putting him in the news, so there probably has to be some AB talk this morning on the show.
Well, if we came in under the quota yesterday, if we surpass it today, can we balance it out?
It's like an average?
Yeah, we'll average it. We'll amortize.
Weighted average?
Weighted average.
But aren't you interested in this Instagram post that got deleted? Don't you find that fascinating?
Why was that deleted, Ken?
Because the team wants no part of his drama, so they're preventing him from speaking.
Well, but isn't that what we all wanted to happen? So if you flash back to the infamous Friday that you keep berating me about, where I said that I didn't want this guy on the New England Patriots, and then what was I after that when they signed him? What was I, Ken?
Oh, so excited.
I was so excited.
I was so excited.
Everybody talked about how he's going to come in here and he's going to be a changed individual. Mm-hmm. So he puts this post up yesterday, and I'm gathering that Belichick or whomever decided that's not what they want him to do, and they tell him take it down, and the guy takes it down. Now, would he do that in Oakland? Would he have taken it down in Oakland? No. Would he have taken it down in Pittsburgh? No.
Can we all admit this is a massive headache? That this is just a giant headache that this team doesn't need for a player that they don't need to win a championship?
A social media post is a giant headache.
Well, think about it.
Will you get off of this?
The player and the organization are at odds, Greg. He's posting. He wants to talk, and they won't let him. It's week one.
Oh, it's not that he wants to talk. This is just what he's used to. He's going to have to get used to a new culture here, or he's going to get shown the door.
He's trying to get likes. I mean, he's trying to get likes. It is interesting to me a little bit that Ken believes the media in this city is going easy on Antonio Brown and the Patriots, and are not demanding that he come out and speak, and that in the ending at collusion. Like, why do you think, if you're calling the media soft, and I don't know whether it's Mike Reese or who you think should be demanding that he speak, Ken? But why would they be doing that? If I'm going to buy into your conspiracy theory,
well, you don't want to hear from Antonio Brown. You don't think that's good content, good copy.
Yes,
you don't think the fans want to hear it.
It'd be great, but why would the media be giving him a pass?
Well, they are. I mean, I don't know. I don't have all the facts there, whether they've filed a complaint or some have or some haven't. But as of now...
Did they get fined when he didn't speak?
They will have to. Yes.
After the okay, so the Patriots have already been fined for that, correct?
Well, he will, too.
He personally...
The player can get fined. You are mandated to speak to the press after the game. So him...
At your locker, correct?
Placard down, clothes out before the press got there equals fine. And they probably will be happy, or he will be happy, or a combination therein, to keep paying that. Because what is he going to say? What is he going to do at one of these post-game pressers?
There's no benefit for them if he goes...
It's a zero-wins game.
If he goes and talks. I mean, there's no benefit.
The media has been so beaten down... by Belichick and this Patriots organization that they're just saying, whatever, it's fine. But the fact is that yesterday they're spending the entire Belichick press conference asking about the challenges that Luke Falk presents on Sunday, discussing Adam Gase and the Jets, a team that the Patriots will beat by more than four touchdowns, when the biggest story in the city is Antonio Brown, and they just don't even ask about
There's it. Such a mess at the Jets that if you follow all the Pat socials yesterday, people were saying that Belichick did a better job explaining the Jets' offense and their quarterback situation to the press than Adam Gase did. Because even he can't figure out what the F he's doing down there now.
But I don't, I mean, the thing about this is it's not important to anybody other than those that are in the media. It's not, the fans don't care what AB
is. Oh, no, yeah, no fan would click on that video when it was posted by any member of the media.
I mean, I don't know.
The fans drive it. If they click on it, that's what more is supplied of it.
Yes, but they don't care what he's going to say post game. I really don't. I mean, I don't think there's anybody. Maybe you're listening right now and you're enraged that AB hasn't spoken yet. Maybe you're upset that the New England Patriots once again are, you know, running things the way they want to run them and not the way the rest of the NFL runs them. Maybe you're upset that they broke another rule and that they're willing to pay. How much is the fine?
I think it's like $20,000, yeah. Something like that.
17.5 or something like that. Yeah.
So every game that AB plays, and it looks like, by the way, he's going to play Sunday. Yeah. I mean, the NFL generally informs a player before Wednesday. If the NFL had found something out that had changed their mind with regard to Antonio Brown being eligible to play, when they interviewed the trainer on Monday, that they would have informed him and informed the Patriots that he couldn't play. So it looks like he's going to play. So they're willing to pay $20,000. Every game that he plays, so that he doesn't have to talk to the media.
And I'm looking forward to the Boston Globe editorial tomorrow. New England Patriots stifle free speech.
Well, they should. Somebody should write about it. Why is that funny? I mean,
no, they shouldn't. Will you just relax? I mean, this is Steve, who is in the truck this morning, I think. Hey, Steve,
guys, what's going on?
Hey, I don't know if you listened to OMF yesterday, but they had somebody on from the Patriots, and they were talking about they need to have three guys after the game speak to the media, and they can do it on a rotating basis, and they don't ever have to have him on, himself, Antonio, as long as they have three guys after the game. Well, and if it gets to a point where they get fed up with it, they can exclude the media from the locker room. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but that's
a possibility. Yeah, so listen, post-game press conference, they have to provide those guys. You're absolutely correct. Lately, by the way, it's been Josh Gordon, and I think he's been doing great.
Excellent.
I had no idea he was so eloquent. I think he did a great job.
He's great. But when it comes to the locker room, there is that NFL rule. Thank you for the call, by the way, Steve. There is that NFL rule that says that you have to make every player available.
Right.
You have to make every player
available.
They'll
talk to Ted Karras. They'll talk to Joe Tooney. They'll talk to Joe Cardona. But eventually, they're going to want to hear from Antonio Brown. And, of course, all he's going to do is use his own words to hang himself in front of the press. It'll be a disaster when and if he finally speaks.
I think it's amazing that he put that social media post up and they told him to take it down and he did it and it's not a big deal. I mean, I guess we don't know whether it was. I mean, do you think he threw a temper tantrum because they told him to take it?
Certainly, Bill. I will hit delete right now.
Right now.
Thank you for calling.
Well, look at the social media of all the other guys, Greg. It's usually like, you know, like Edelman and James White and Brady, and it's always like them looking strong on the field, and it's like, great team win, on to the next.
No, with Edelman, it's burger time.
Right.
And movie reviews.
And with Antonio Brown, it's, no, I didn't fart in front of you. Ha,
right,
ha, ha.
And also Edelman just making sure his biceps look completely jacked in every picture.
Which they do. I know, it's amazing.
Oh, they do, Danielle?
Yep. Yes. This is the first thing that actually warmed Danielle up, thinking about Julian's biceps.
I have two friends that are big, huge JE fans, and anytime he does anything, they'll be sure to screenshot it and send it. They're like, oh, make sure if you ever have Julian on, tell him I love him. I'm like, yeah, that's the first thing I'm going to say to Julian when I see him. Absolutely.
Tingling lady parts line. One.
Exactly.
Antonio Brown's first post as a Patriot has to be him superimposed over headlines, and it has to be about the fact that it's about him, and just, again, circling right back to the AB drama.
Well, and so that's maybe that, so it's the content then.
Yes, it's the context and content, yes.
So somebody said, knock it off, around here, it's not about you, it's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and your first post makes you look like a douche.
Wouldn't it be funny to be a fly on the wall in the Antonio Brown Patriot Ways social media seminar? Like, it must contain the following letters, LFNG.
This is Frank. Frank is from Beverly, I believe. Hey, Frank, what's going on?
Hi, Greg. I totally agree with what you said. I'm basically tired of listening to about anything about Antonio Brown as far as his media things and stuff like that. It's just getting way out of hand and stuff. And if the media doesn't have something else to talk about, then maybe they should just shut their mouths or move on to something else.
Well, I just want to watch the guy play football. I just want to watch them play football. If there is news that makes a difference, if the NFL says you can't play, it then okay, that's great. But
so you want special rules for your favorite team is what you want?
No, I don't want special. Ken, I don't want special. I mean, I do. The honk does, but I don't want special rules. But I don't care whether he addresses the media after the game or not.
Well, he's breaking the rules.
It's disingenuous for fans, though, to say that they don't care about this when they're the ones who've been filling up the phone lines on both sports radio stations for the last week and a half. They are interested in this. They are interested in this sort of backroom dealings going on and all the hysteria surrounding it. They are interested in it.
I want to see if they can get to him and if he can look like. Just have that glazed over Patriot way look in his eyes.
No, there's no way if he spoke, he'd say way more than they want him to say. I mean, thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. We're coming to you from Fenway Park. We're going to be joined in a few moments by our very good friend, Jim Cook from Sam Adams. We're on the Sam Adams deck. Jim Cook, one of the most loyal people in the history of beer. The guy, Sam Adams, on the old show.
Yes.
Sam Adams was the first advertiser nearly 28 years ago.
Oh, 28 years? Is it that long?
Yeah, I was on for 28 years. I don't know if I... Has anybody mentioned
that? Shut up.
I was on for 28 years?
Years?
On the old show.
Wow. And Jim, make some production
that's
out of
a Wiggy Wednesday.
And 28 years ago, Jim was willing to be the first advertiser to commit to support the show. So I will never forget that. And I've been drinking his beer for free since then.
Godfather of craft beer.
This is Carrie from Andover, I believe, on Antonio Brown. Yes, Carrie, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. So while I'm not a big Antonio Brown fan, I'm not a fan of his character, but yeah. We as fans, okay, everyone's bashing the fans that we don't want to click on the video and we don't want to do this and we don't want to crucify the man. That's out of our control. We didn't sign him. We don't have a voice. We don't have a vote. It's out of our control. What am I supposed to do? I love football. I love the Pats. I love watching football. I just want to watch football.
Are you demanding that the Patriots make him speak after games? Like, are you, do you feel, are you being robbed of the opportunity to hear what he says, as Ken is saying?
That's a good question. I almost really don't care what he has to say.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. I don't either.
I don't. You know, I'd rather have him not say anything. I'm kind of on board with that kind of whole, just keep your mouth shut, take your post down, just behave while you're here because that's not our way. But my point is that it is out of our control as fans. I mean, what do you want us to do? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah. All right, Carrie, thank you. 617-779-7937 to call and to be on the show this morning, or you can text with your comment. 37937 is the text line. Coming up next, I mean, you're right. You called him the godfather of craft beer. I mean, he would not say that himself, but he really is. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to Jim Cook from the Sam Adams deck here at Friendly Fenway, America's most beloved ballpark. 1 o'clock game for the Red Sox today, and we'll be right back.
Mudhead Night, tonight 6 to 8 from the On Deck Burger Bar at the Encore Casino. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
How about that? Mutt tonight is at Encore Casino, guys. That's a guy who's done some damage to craft beers. So.
That's like putting Curtis at a gin distillery.
Good Lord.
Looking forward to that. 6-8 with Tommy Curran, by the way. Those guys will be talking football. Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines today. Try their garlic parmesan chicken mac and cheese, one of their 9 real-size entrees for $9.99. A great deal available all day, every day. The 99, always the real deal. Tom Brady's calf issue, maybe not a concern. If he practices today, of course it won't be. Did you guys catch Raekwon McMillan, the Miami Dolphins linebacker, who said one of the referees told him when he hit Brady this past Sunday, a legal hit, quote, stay off Tom, end quote.
All right.
I don't buy that.
I do.
You think he's
making it up?
I think he made that up. I don't think that's, there's no such thing.
No, but Curtis and I are in on the whole protect Brady and Mahomes thing, because one of them goes down, conference over, and the ratings falter.
So that's yet another NFL conspiracy.
Yes.
That's from 345 Park Ave, brother.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Patriots and Jets, 1 o'clock Sunday. NFL Week 3 starts tonight. The 1-1 Titans at the 0-2 Jags. Wow. According to Adam Schefter, Jalen Ramsey, who was asked for a trade, he's going to play tonight. Some team asked the league whether he could play tonight, and then if you trade for him, could he play again on Sunday? So he might play, get traded, and I guess it's against league rules to play 2 games in 1 week, but just throw that out there. Red Sox pounded 11-3 last night. The only bright spot, well, yeah, 2 bright spots, right? Yaz throwing out the first pitch. Were you there last night, Hillman?
I was not. I took a night off. You know, I've been to nearly every game this season.
Thank you for your service.
Because it's America's pastime, but I took the night off last night.
Rough night for the Sox, other than Devers and his 30th homer. He's got 30 homers, 50 doubles before the age of 23, only the second player to do it. Final game today, 1:05, the first pitch. Noon pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. It's Erod and Madison Bumgarner. Good pitching matchup today. And Sean McDonough with Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney on the call for us. We will have the football game tonight, by the way, on WEI after Mutt at night. David Price shut down for the season due to his wrist cyst, and the Bruins and the Flyers in preseason action. Game 2 tonight. That's a 7:30 faceoff. This is the Greg Hill Show on WEI.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Greg Hill Show is live from Fenway Park with Sam Adams Beer and a bunch of listeners playing hooky from work. What a country.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I wish I could say it was warming up here on the Sam Adams deck outside at Fenway, but it's not. I mean, I guess
cold is better for the beer.
Yeah, well, it's breezy. It's windy. And I am, by the way, I'm Instagram live, so you can join me right now on my Instagram, which is Greg Hill, WEEI. Unlike Antonio Brown, I'm allowed to post whatever I want. So I went Instagram live because our good friend Jim Cook is here, and I want to catch Jim opening his first beer. I'm assuming it's your first beer of the day.
It is. I waited. So
you waited.
That I
you
could
waited.
Share it with you, Greg.
And so, there what do you? What do you? What are you? What are you choosing?
Well, we got a little chill in the air. Yeah. So, you know, we have a beer for every season. It's Sam Adams Oktoberfest. That's going to be my first beer of the morning.
All right. Well, pop that thing. There we go. Oh,
nice. Too bad there's not going to be an Oktoberfest for the Red Sox.
Oh, this is good ASMR right
here. Listen to that.
I feel sorry for all your listeners driving to work with like a cup of cold coffee between their legs. Hey, cheers.
All right, cheers. There we go. Look at that.
Right on the mic. There we go.
Oh, well, you know what? And Jim, I think you have one of the great expressions when it comes to life, which is that it's hard to drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Is that the
crack of dawn, dude.
Yes, that is the crack of dawn. How are you?
I'm putting that on my tombstone, if I may.
Yes.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I was talking before the break about...
Can I pour you a beer?
Pour me a beer, of course. I mean, am I allowed? I mean, I don't know what the new... station...
Yeah, there's no laws against BUI, broadcasting.
Broadcasting under the influences. There's nothing.
At country. The old station, only one person could drink in the morning.
Have you seen Mutt's contract?
Oh, Ken.
I got to tell you something.
Your beer got excited there, Greg.
I want to make it. I want to make
I'll
it.
I'll make more.
Listen, if you're watching on Instagram, I want to make it clear that I'm not shaking because I haven't had a beer yet. It's because I'm freezing. Like my Instagram is shaking. All right, I'm gonna have a sip of this too. Oh, that's fantastic. I was talking about how 28 years ago you stepped up and you were the first advertiser to support the show on the old station, and here we are at the Sam Adams deck. How many, when you did that 28 years ago, how many employees would you guess that Sam Adams had?
Six or eight.
And here, look, you got a giant sign here at Fenway, and you guys have a great relationship with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, they've been terrific partners for us. I waited 34 years to be able to, you know, do something with the Red Sox and, you know, make sure it was a New England beer here supporting them. So it's been an amazing trip.
Yeah,
I think when we met 28 years ago, we like both took pity on each other. You were like, "Well, he's not going to be around for very long, but at least he's a good guy." And I'm like, "They're going to pull him off the air. He's
too
crazy.
It's never
going to
work.
Here we are.
And here we are.
Sam Adams." Yeah. Looking at Fenway Park.
Yeah, right.
This is awesome. This is my first chance ever getting to meet or speak with Jim. You're Beer Claws. You are, like I said earlier, the godfather of craft beer. New England on the whole, and especially here, Craftachusetts now, with over 150 breweries you can go sit down and drink in. And we all trace it back to you. So did you ever foresee leading such a move, like this happening, that you could go get great fresh beer around every corner and it started with you?
No effing way.
No way.
That's the answer I wanted. No effing way, man.
Was not on my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I was the company, I started it in my kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wanted my beer. Couldn't get a distributor. I had to go bar to bar with cold beer in my briefcase. I was delivering it out of my station wagon. No, there were not great things in my future.
Do you think there's, like, is there a, I mean, the rise in popularity when it comes to craft has been incredible. Do you think it's like at a bubble point, though? Because there are some breweries that are, first of all, some are selling, some are closing. Where do you think we are right now when it comes to craft beer?
Well, you're asking a brewer.
Yeah.
You know, to me, there can't be so much. It can be nothing like too much beer.
Yeah.
That concept doesn't enter my mind.
Yeah. Nope.
So there's like 9,000 breweries in the United States.
Yeah, the
today.
Last, like the most since like 1887
most
or something
ever.
Like that. And that was because, like, there used to be a brewery on every corner in like the 1880s or 90s or whatever, because there was no pasteurization or whatever.
Yeah, today we have the equivalent. There's a brewery pretty much in every zip code.
Yeah.
And to me, this is like incredibly gratifying because I did have this glimmer when I started that maybe, you know, I could start this beer revolution, but it was a tiny little idea, but it was kind of there. Maybe that's why I named it Sam Adams. You know, Sam Adams was this great Boston figure who was sort of lost to history until he became a beer. I mean, nobody knew who Sam Adams was until he became a beer, but he was the godfather of the revolution. He was the radical, the rabble-rouser, the firebrand that got everybody stirred up against the British, and ultimately he created a political revolution. We became our own country. When I started Sam Adams, people drank imports. If you wanted a good beer, you remember those.
It was
dark
like Heineken,
days.
Yeah. Or
Heineken, or Molson, or Bass Ale, or Beck's.
Yeah,
and we, you know, we dissed our own beer.
Yeah,
and I wanted to bring dignity and respect to American beer. I want to teach the rest of the world, you know, Americans can make great beer, and today, you know, we're teaching the Germans how to make beer,
which is amazing.
So cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And really, at that time, like, who else was doing it? Like, maybe it was Ballast Point or somebody.
No,
like,
they weren't around. No. It was a few, you know, kind of crackpots, misfits.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very American story. It was started by, you know, people who couldn't get a real job.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like a great American. It's like a great American story.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Like they couldn't get jobs. They didn't want to work in. You quit your business job.
Yeah,
you were like a business consultant. Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. It was a place called Boston Consulting Group here in Boston. It was a manufacturing consultant, big companies. I didn't really fit there. Wasn't always comfortable there. I wanted to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I know how to make beer because my dad was a brewmaster. You know, and I was home brewer. And I just gave it a shot. It's what happens in America, you know?
Yeah.
People who, I mean, think about Steve Jobs. Like, would you hire that guy? College dropout, doesn't like to wear shoes,
right.
Forgets to take a bath. Right.
Making computers in his garage, though, just like he had a passion. He had no idea. He would literally one day put a supercomputer in everyone's pocket or on their wrist. You know, maybe like a Shiner Bock was around, and the Shiner may have been brewing around the time that you got into gear.
Yeah, they weren't really a craft brewer. They were a little local Texas beer,
right
down in Spetzel, Texas.
It feels like now that you talk about it, like, you know, naming it Sam Adams, Jim Cook, beer pioneer, and, you know, brewing rebel, like now it sounds like it needs to be a movie. Right?
Yeah.
You know, now the Jim Cook story needs to be like, we need to make this a movie.
Yes.
It's not over yet.
Yes.
I know.
There's a lot more fun stuff to do.
It'd be like that movie about the McDonald's. The Ray Kroc movie.
Let's hope it ends happier. he wasn't a particularly great guy.
Well, no, Jim. No.
Jim's a hero.
Jim did not steal the company from anybody with a handshake like Ray Kroc did.
Exactly.
But who would... I mean, probably Tom Hank would be the guy to play Jim Cook, right?
Done.
I wish.
He's Mr. Rogers, so maybe Tom Hanks could play you.
Jim, I wanted to ask
you. We'll have to teach him to drink a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he could play Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, how do you stay ahead of the curve with so many different kinds of beers now? Like, I know you guys released the Cosmic Sour a little while ago, and that's a trend now. You know, everyone is all double IPA'd out at this point. Everyone's palate has been bombed out. How do you stay ahead? Because it's such a challenging landscape.
Well, you got to remember, I've been making beer for a long time. And
right.
I know a little bit about beer.
Yeah, you do.
And one thing's about Sam Adams, we've always innovated. We've always done new things. We didn't just make Sam Adams Boston Lager. Then we started making seasonal beers like Summer Ale and Oktoberfest and Winter Lager. And then we started going into other things like sours, barrel-aged beers. One of my favorites, we're doing a release this year. The Lunatic Fringe of Brewing is a beer called Sam Adams Utopias. It's pushing 60 proof.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome.
It's
60
amazing.
Proof.
Oh, let's go.
It tastes
the
like
strongest
have you ever
in
had
the
it?
World.
No, I need it right now, though, so I can feel my feet
it's
again.
Like, it's kind of whiskey-like. In it.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
It's somewhere in between, like, a fine sherry, an old cognac, a port, you know, and you drink an ounce at a time.
Right.
It's explosively aromatic. It's the strongest beer in history. I mean, I love... You know, doing that kind of stuff that nobody's ever thought of, nobody's done. So I mean, I'm excited every day.
And are you surprised by the popularity of the seltzers, of the alcoholic seltzers?
Absolutely.
Did that completely take? I mean, you can't go to a Patriots tailgate without seeing people, grown men. Quaffing down Trulies. Are you surprised by that?
Shocked the you-know-what out of me.
Yeah, it's completely...
Yeah, I mean, we started making this hard seltzer because, it was sort of because we can. You know, we've figured out how to make really alcoholic stuff, like we learned with Utopias. And so we had this clear base, and we put some flavors in it, and we thought, you know, people are kind of into low sugar, lower calories. We figured out how to make a full 5% alcohol beer that was totally clear, and we started adding some fruit to it. And we brought it out, and I thought it was going to be like, you know, white blouse women in Wellesley.
Right, right.
That would
right,
drink it.
Right, right.
And we were.
They like football too.
Yeah.
Well, then we were. We had a trip with our distributors, the incentive trip in the Caribbean. We're on this boat cruising around, going from, you know, bar to bar. And I had four of my wholesalers in the back. And these were like big dudes.
Yep.
There was like 1,200 pounds of wholesaler sitting on that bench. And they averaged 14 Trulies.
Average.
That day. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And the biggest one, he was like 350. And I said, you know, Greg, why are you drinking all this? And he's, well, I got to watch my girlish figure. The rest is history. Surprised me.
What do you, if you're not going to drink a Sam Adams, beer-wise, what are you going to drink?
You know, everybody always asks me that question. And, you know, for me, the answer is a little bit different than everybody else because, you know, I know so many brewers.
Mm. Right.
So when I drink a beer, I'm thinking of the brewer.
Right.
And, you know, if there's, and I'm lucky, we're in an industry that's like 99% a-hole free. There's like 1% a-holes out there.
Some really, really great guys
but
working.
Wonderful, wonderful people. So if I drink a beer, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, if I'm having like a night shift, I'm thinking of Rob, the owner, who's a good friend.
Right, right.
Or, you know, so I'm always thinking of the brewer. And to me, they taste good if I really like the person.
And speaking of like night shift and the beer gardens, you know, Trillium. And I mean, what a great thing for the industry, right?
Like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I like going to Cisco over in the Seaport and going out there. And I mean, it's a little
iffy on that because ultimately they're owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, really?
Through multiple corporate layers. So it's got a little off taste.
Way to get out of the family circle there, Greg. Yeah, what do they always say?
You never know. You know, right now, the big guys have been coming into craft, hiding who they own.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got a lot of distribution muscle. And God love them. They're good brewers.
Yeah.
But I think when people drink a beer, they should probably know who owns it.
100%.
Sam Adams is owned by Sam Adams.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You always want to go. You always want to stay farm to table. And like you were talking about, what do you drink when you ask that question, Greg? It's always like, where do they say to eat? Eat where the chefs eat. When the chefs get off shift and you go to that restaurant, that's where you want to know. So that's why it's good to know.
Trillium's
where Jim
great.
Cook would
drink. You know, night shift's great.
Yeah.
You know, Harpoon, they're right down the street. They're great. So I know the people. I know they're good people.
Yeah.
And the beer tastes better.
Yeah.
So what do you think is? Do you see any new trends developing? Do you see the beer industry going in a different direction? Like I said earlier, we IPA'd until we couldn't. Now we're in like peak hard seltzer. What do you think could be next?
Well, you know, in craft beer, what's really, to me, very cool is a new style of IPA called New England IPA.
Right.
It was invented here in New England. We've been making it for like 3 years. It uses new brewing techniques. So this is a little beer geeky, right?
But, oh, I love it.
You know, typical IPAs are kind of bitter and, you know, piney, resiny, grapefruity. Well, that's West Coast IPA. Here in New England, we invented a new brewing technique where you add hops into the fermenter, and that frees up flavors in the hops that have never been released, and they're fruity. They're like mango, apricot, guava, orange juice. And the bitterness is softer. You know, we add a little oats to our New England IPA that gives it this silky, luscious mouthfeel. And then you get this big, fruity explosion. That is a wonderful, beautiful beer that has taken the country by storm. And we invented it here in New England. Primarily started in Vermont, came down here to Massachusetts. And you go to Munich and you see New England IPA. That is the coolest thing.
That's awesome. We're on the Sam Adams deck at Fenway Park. It's 27 degrees. Jim Cook is here from Sam Adams. What about cannabis? Cannabis, like where do you stand on that when it comes to beer?
Well, you know, it's a different thing, but here's a pretty funny thing that people don't realize. That the nearest botanical relative to our old friend weed is hops. Hops look like weed.
Right, right.
In fact, you know, when we're done here, I'm going down to the brewery in JP, and I'm going to do hop selection. I'm selecting from this year's crop of hops to get the best farmers' lots to put into our beer. And they look, you know, they look like buds.
Yeah.
And there's a trace amount of THC in them, so you can actually smoke hop. Now, they burn what? Hot.
You probably, in a pinch, wow. I guarantee you, in a pinch, you've done it. I guarantee
you. Oh, yeah. But you need a hookah, because they burn so hot.
It has to be a metal hookah, no plastic hookahs, Greg.
So we actually have a hookah down at the brewery for, you know, illicit purposes, but I guess we're legal now.
Speaking of the brewery, it's kind of sad that Doyle's is closing.
It's very sad. You know, they were one of my first customers. They were definitely my first draft customer. So, you know, we've been with Doyle's for 35 years. When people ask me, you know, what bar should I go to in Boston? I tell them, you know, Doyle's is like the heart of Boston.
Yeah.
And it's been there since 1888.
Wow.
It was started by Franny Doyle. Francis Doyle was a retired cop. And it's been part of our neighborhood forever.
There's a big petition online to try to save it.
Yeah.
You know, I think the ended up being like a typical thing where the rent went up.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of an example of, and this is very inside baseball, but we're here at Fenway, of kind of how screwed up a lot of the alcoholic beverage laws are. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's worth more money to sell the liquor license.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get like a half a million bucks to commit suicide.
Right. It's they're going to get $500,000 for that license.
Yeah.
And I think they're selling it to
Because
Davio's.
There's all these restrictions on licenses, you know, and Davio's is going to buy it, and they're going to build a world-class steakhouse in the seaport. But why does Doyle's have to go out of business so that Davio's can build a great, you know, steakhouse in the seaport?
Yeah.
Why can't we have both?
There should be a license available for anybody who wants to do it anywhere. I would absolutely. But we live in Massachusetts, so you know how that works.
Yeah, that's historic connective tissue right there. You don't want to lose that.
No.
I got a couple questions before Jim goes. This is Tim from Bridgewater. Hey, Tim, what's going on? You're on with Jim Cook.
Yes, hi. I just had a question for Jim. I used to love the honey porter. I didn't know if that would ever come back.
All right, good question.
Yeah, yeah, we do bring it back occasionally. And honey porter was one of my favorite beers. You know, it's like delicious, creamy, and smooth. Named after the first stripper I ever saw.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Well, better than that. You can't name a beer Foxy Lady. So.
No, that's right. So, yeah.
Right. So maybe it will.
It comes back.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, listen, it's awesome to see you. Thanks for having us here on the Sam Adams deck, your deck here at Fenway. And we wish the season had gone a little bit better, but there's another one.
As we used to say,
yes,
you know, before they were good, they started, wait till next year, right? I like that.
All right, and head over, like, if you haven't been to the brewery, go to the brewery. The brewery is awesome.
So the Orange Line, Stony Brook Station.
Yeah, I want to ask you this. How old are you now?
70.
You don't look it. It's probably because of beer.
The beer,
But how many beers would you guess you've had in your life?
You've
been doing this for 35 years.
Yeah. Well, there's only one answer to that.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Not enough.
That's my guy. That's the answer.
I'll be your designated drinker.
All right. Not enough. All right. That's Jim Cook. We're at Fenway, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cleaning up at the plate is something we know Greg can do.
Play ball!
Rounding second and headed for third is what Danielle calls Friday night. And a one-liner bloop to shallow is always fair with Fitzy. It's the Greg Hill Show live from Fenway Park with Ken and Curtis on the call.
One o'clock start for the Boston Red Sox today, and joining us, I think, at around 9, it'll be Brock Holt.
Yes, sir.
The Brock, what's his?
He's the Brock star.
The Brock star, yeah.
America's New England's favorite dad.
Well, excuse me. Like, I feel like I should be in the running.
I think you guys should wrestle for that honor today. I mean, you ever see those pictures with, what is Brock's 3-year-old son name? The cutest kid in the world.
He is a really, really cute kid.
Yeah, the cutest kid in the world. And every time he ever posts like a little social media of the two of them doing stuff, people just swoon and they go nuts. I think Brock is coming up on a free agent year. I hope he sticks around.
I believe they're testing the audio system here at Fenway Park while we are doing the show. I hope that's not Sweet Caroline. They're not playing Sweet Caroline.
So we've had seagulls, we've had leaf blowers, and now a concert.
Excellent.
It is time for us to get to the news.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in one thing only, that is the sexual health of men. So check out northeastmensclinic.com, that's northeastmensclinic.com, and make an appointment today if you're not like Fitzy. Fitzy is, not only did Curtis bring up that Tom Brady is the greatest athlete ever in the history of team sports, but also Jim Cook was here talking about craft beer. You're out of my mind. You're full on midnight, six to midnight, the whole entire day.
You're like Rochie with the first pitch of yes to yes.
That's the Bill Belichick of craft beer. You know how much I like my IPA. It's the only three letters that are more important than LFG or IPA.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. I think people are sort of, like, don't you think they're getting kind of tired of IPA? Yes.
Yes. Right? The New England IPA was the latest innovation, but I feel like they're going to trend back towards a lower ABV because you can only do hopped up 8%ers for so long. I guess that's why the spiked seltzer movement has kind of taken off.
What do you want to talk about news-wise, Danielle?
I want to talk about the fact that porn star Bridget the Midget, her name, is under arrest for allegedly stabbing her boyfriend at their home in Las Vegas.
What?
Police say that officers were called to the scene by a neighbor who heard the two fighting. When officers arrived, they found the boyfriend with a deep stab wound. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment, and police arrested the adult film star, whose real name is Bridget Powers, who now faces assault and battery charges, among other counts. She has appeared in 50 scenes since her debut in 1999.
Where'd she get him? Like right in the knee? Upper
body region. Amazingly, incredibly.
Is she going to have to cancel all of her features that were scheduled for this weekend?
Probably.
Jeez.
She's probably great. She's like right at... perfect eye level. Is that the name? Is that her trick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
One eye level.
What was? Do we know what happened? I mean, was he jealous? Or I mean, she got an especially big tip or something? Or like what was?
Well, for her.
Poor choice of words.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
So Bridget. Well, that's all right. Bad news for Bridget the Midget. What else is? What else is going on this morning?
We've got a new inductee into the Pervert Teacher Association this morning.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Today's inductee into the Pervert Teacher Association is a teacher, 31-year-old Lindsay P. Anderson, who teaches just outside Chicago in Illinois in St. Charles Township. She's been accused of having sexual relations with two minors that she knew that were students at the school where she taught.
Two students.
Not simultaneously, I don't believe, which has been the case in the past when we've done these stories.
Yeah.
She was, there was someone who had brought up the relationship to one of the members of the school administration. They then contacted police. Yeah. Subsequent investigation ensued.
Well, that's how it happened. I mean, the kid can't keep it a secret.
No.
That's the problem.
Did you know of anybody when you went to school that was doing anything with a teacher?
No.
Two people.
No.
What? Really?
Two people, same teacher.
Really?
Really?
Yep. Was the teacher male or female?
Male.
Male. And there were two girls that you... Really?
Yep.
What subject?
I don't want to say it because it'll be way obvious, but anyone that went to Swampscott High School around the late 80s, early 90s, late 90s are probably...
Was it like the shop teacher? Because I feel like they get a lot of tail, like the shop teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
This wasn't Latin.
If you'd like, ladies, if you'd like to stay after, I got some wood that needs working.
I mean, I don't... No, I did not. Like, and we've talked about this 8 billion times, but what is... Are they just, was it going on and nobody knew about it because there was no social media? Or is it going on more now because the teachers are younger and closer in the age to the kids?
Did you have anything resembling an attractive teacher when you grew up?
A sub, like maybe once.
Right. Every one of my teachers looked like the woman who needed her mole gnawed off in Uncle Buck. They were just all just miserable human beings. And now all of a sudden you've got like Barstool smoke shows that come in and teach your kids.
Yeah.
And no wonder why. It's just run rampant. I blame Pamela Smart.
Well, yeah. No, they're like, here's your substitute, Olivia Culpo. She'll be handling the classroom.
Going back to school.
I mean, you went to private school.
Rivers, yes.
Which is shocking, you know, understanding your relationship with your father.
Yes, it was a remarkable thing. He won the library there as well as BC.
You go to all schools named after Weezer singers?
Yes, you went to Rivers. Excuse me,
Rivers School.
Rivers. Was there anything going
on? No, I actually had a guy that I went to school with who was a teacher at Rivers, and he had a relationship with a student recently, about a year and a half ago. So that was something. But when I was there and all through Dover Sherburn, all that stuff growing up, never in a million years was there anything like that. None of the teachers were A, attractive, and B, I guess close enough in the age range, but this happens all the time.
It's an epidemic.
But you could never get in touch with your teacher before. Like back in the day, you'd have to like go in the phone book and God forbid they had their landline listed.
Yeah.
No. Now, it's as easy as getting on the Snap Face.
Yeah.
Right.
But how do you stop it? Like, what is there? Like, it's a complete epidemic. It's out of control. Like,
I don't know. It's become like an accessible taboo or something now. Like, it seems, is there like a conquest? Is it cool among kids? Like, they all say, like, yeah, man.
Of course it is. Like, but it's also cool among some teachers, right? Apparently. Like,
I don't blame the kids. I blame the teachers.
No,
that 15-year-old.
Obviously.
Yeah. I know.
Right? No.
No, but it's like, honestly, like some of these teachers, and it's a small, it's not a large percentage. The majority of them are I'm sure, are grossed out by it. But I feel like there's some, like the female teachers, they come to work, like the first day of school, and they're like, you know, they're doing a lineup of the like the male students to see like who's the
Billy.
Wow, things really changed over the summer for you.
Yeah. Big feet.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say about hairy forearms.
Curtis.
People at Rivers are not very happy about your demeanor.
Okay.
So.
Now that's crossing line. Okay.
All right.
Deal.
We got more news coming. We're broadcasting from a very chilly Fenway Park. Whose idea was it to do the show outside today, and who thought it would be at least 50 degrees?
Yeah.
I guess that's me.
And Jim, that'll be on you, sir.
Yeah, and Jim get to drink beers. Meanwhile, we're hugging over here just to hold on for dear life.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like winter. I mean, honestly, it's like winter. But then again, it's going to be 80 something this weekend, both days.
Yeah, great. That's not right now.
No, it's not right now.
Earth has the flu.
We are at Fenway Park, Sam Adams Deck. Coming up at 9, we'll be joined by Brock Holt of the Boston Red Sox, and we'll be right back with the rest of the news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.